right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. We head towards the championship games of the AFC and NFC in the NFL, and we'll have both of them for you on the air this Sunday, starting at 2 o'clock with a pregame for the early game, which is the NFC championship of Green Bay traveling to Seattle. Of course, we'll have the Colts in the evening game. We'll have the Westwood One national broadcast of that kicking off around 6:30 or so. We'll cover all of that here tonight in the second half of the show and give you a preview of what we think is going to go on. But before we get there, yesterday just seemed to be a day of Indiana basketball. Unfortunately, some of that was bad news. At the end of the day, it was a little bit of good news. And that was resulting in a win. But before we get to the win leading up to that game, Hoosier fans found out during the day on Tuesday about an injury in practice on Monday to Hunter Mascara-Perea, a gentleman who's been at the forefront of most every discussion about Indiana basketball this year for one reason or another. You start the season with, will Hunter come along enough to be a significant contributor? Because he's our only real big guy that we have. Is he doing better? Is he doing worse? Is he disappearing? Is he in foul trouble? Should he not be starting? All of that has gone on this year when it comes to Hunter. Don't forget, of course, the off-the-court issues that had happened at the end of last year or towards the end of last year. So, Ben, very much in the discussion, and now all of a sudden we're talking about Hunter hurting his kneecap and maybe missing, they're saying, indefinitely, and it's being projected at maybe 2 to 4 weeks. Certainly with a kneecap injury, we've seen that last a lot longer and be affected a lot longer here in the last few years in Indiana basketball. So yet to be seen when he can come back. But we're not doctors. We can't project that. We can only look at what we've got on the floor and a thin spot with Devin Davis already out and with no other real big guys other than Emmett Holt got significantly thinner. And they started Colin Hartman last night. Not sure what to expect really out of this team. The first thing that jumps out at you is that they got beat on the boards by a team that wasn't beating a lot of team on the boards. And this is an Indiana team that's done a better job on the boards. But Glass, this is what's facing Indiana basketball right now. It was already weak and thin at that spot, and it lost, I don't know if it was his best inside player, but certainly its best prospect inside to give you the best minutes over the longest period of time. Emmett Holt's only playing 15 minutes a game, if that. So to think he's going to jump in and play 28 minutes all of a sudden and be great at it in the Big Ten is unrealistic. It's a big issue here going forward for the Hoosiers.
It is, and to be fair, they didn't have much time to sort that issue out, and that's why you saw Ryan Burton last night. He had some size, gave him some effort off the bench just to spark him, and see if he could get his nose in the rotation in the front court. But I think that's an accurate observation, because how many teams can you point to in the history of the Big Ten have wielded out a guy in either the middle of their zone or the middle of their defense at 6'5 or 6'6 or 6'7 and have had extended success? Right. It hasn't happened. And it's unfortunate, because obviously injuries are a part of the game. Ask Illinois about that. Indiana's opponent on the weekend, they lost their leading scorer.
Their best player.
Well, that's a little bit different, again. But when you have a roster that's thin on height anyhow and thin on experience anyhow, any peg you're knocked down on, that's not going to help anything. But what it does is creates opportunity. It creates opportunity for different ways to attack defensively. It creates different opportunities on offense. You saw in some of those spots, Dave, Penn State, when they went big, had a hard time guarding Indiana because they couldn't find ways to match up.
Teams have had to react down to Indiana's
side
all year.
And usually what happens when you have big players on defense and against smaller players, as you saw Penn State do this last night, they had to play a lot of zone. And Indiana, obviously one of the better three-point shooting teams around, that isn't a problem for the Hoosiers if they're making shots. And you saw that return last night. 9 3-pointers, the most they've made in 4 conference games, a good percentage from the field, their best shooting percentage from the field, their best scoring. Now you put the asterisk on all this, Penn State's not very good. That's the other issue. So last night didn't tell you much, except Indiana found another way to grind out a win, another 3-point win over a tough game.
A tough circumstance. I mean, let's give them credit for getting through that, as you mentioned,
the
day before they find out about this significant loss for them.
There's two things it can do. It can bring you together, or it can pull you apart. And the cynic in me, and there's plenty of it, you know, from listening to this program, and you've known me long enough, now you don't have to worry about stopping practice every 3 minutes and telling Hunter what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Now he doesn't have to be the focus of the film sessions. Now he doesn't have to do this. Tom Crean said, this isn't my opinion, Tom Crean said he didn't work very hard his first 2 years here.
That's what he said.
That's what he said in a post-game press conference after Michigan State.
Yep.
Is it addition by subtraction? No, because I think the height, the length, he does have some talent that parsnips of the game can affect the game. And not having that, I agree, doesn't help.
No,
anything.
I mean, there's little things you wonder about. Did it matter to the team that he was difficult? Look, one of the things that Tom pointed out when he said that he didn't work for 2 years is that he's been working for 6 months. It's not enough for an athlete at this level. That's part of the point.
His teammates
he's
know
still
exactly
coming along.
What is going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, but the point here being, look, you can see him on the floor. He's been a better contributor than he had been in prior years, and it really isn't all that close, and that's more damning about the first two
but
years than anything else.
Thing,
so it is a loss.
The one thing the opposition doesn't know is how he's working.
Yeah,
it
doesn't matter if he fouls out in 4 minutes.
We micromanage it to death because that's what Indiana basketball fans do, and that's what you expect of us listening to this program. You want stuff you're not getting from Jimmy Jackson for 2 hours on the radio or on the television last night. He does a nice job, but when he told you Indiana's one of the teams last night that forces turnovers and gets out on fast breaks the best in the Big Ten, that's completely erroneously wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
He was completely wrong about that. So what Hannah Perea does that other teams might not know about is he looks scary with long arms, and if you've seen him dunk, he makes free throws. He's been doing a decent job at the line. He's active around the basket, and that's the stuff will be in the back of a guy's mind driving to the hole. That's not the case with Colin Hartman. Tell me about his three blocks again against Ohio State.
Right.
I get it. He's not a shot-blocking presence in the middle. He's not a shot alterer in the middle, and he doesn't make guys think twice getting to the rim.
Well, there's a lot.
That's the issue.
There are a lot of reasons to like the way Colin Hartman is playing. Not only the fact that he blew out his knee at the end of March, and he's already back contributing
exactly in
and
his
now
role.
Starting exactly and more minutes than he probably should be, given that he's coming off that knee injury. 333-2665 is the phone number. But you pointed out the key part about Perea. There are aspects that he has that we don't have without him out there. Emmett Holt can give you some minutes, and he's done that in a limited role. And you have to look at the fact that Emmett Holt right now is still averaging only 12.3 minutes a game. He's not playing a lot of minutes, so the bursts that he's giving you are short bursts. It would be wonderful if he could come in and play 25 to 28 minutes a game for this team. It would be tremendous.
That's what premium recruits do.
But you can't expect that out of him right now.
No.
There's no way.
But what Emmett Holt learned last night playing against big opponents or bigger opponents, you can't reach and you can't be late. You saw lazy fouls last night, getting beat to the block, reaching around. Those are things he has to learn and play through. And now you can't say, okay, Hunter, you got 22 minutes. Emmett, you've got 15, and the other three or four or five or six will play four guards around Hartman or four guards around Williams.
Right.
You don't have that option anymore. So what Indiana is going to have to do, Dave, and again, it's unfortunate, but it's not going to change. There's no free agency. There's no 10-day contracts.
That's what you got.
You can't draft anybody, so you have to find a way around it, and that's going to be –
Didn't Maryland just get a guy from, like, Croatia? Maybe we can do that.
He didn't play for the first semester because of some other issues, so that's – again, you don't have him laying around. You don't have anybody transferring.
Get over to the Hyper and find a dude playing in the
Waiting to be eligible. Well, and again, that's not going to help either because not at this level. What does help is getting 5 rebounds from Hartman, 4 rebounds from Stan Robinson. Ryan Burton got 3 offensive rebounds. Those were 2 of those were block shots tipped to him. But they count. He made a play, right? So, again, how many is that? If my math's good. 5, 4, and that's 12 rebounds.
Yep.
You weren't getting 12 rebounds from Holt and Perea on most nights.
No.
Right? So, again, you have to make
up
different ways to do it. But the key is going – the key to all this is, number one, you are losing 5 fouls. You are losing a presence in the middle. And again, the next 6 games, 4 of them are on the road. Illinois has Nana Egwu.
Right.
Wisconsin, I don't have to tell you what Wisconsin's got. Purdue's got 2 7-footers.
Yep.
Maryland's got big boys up front as well. Mm-hmm. Rutgers probably is the quote-unquote shortest team of that bucks. Who am I missing in that run? Purdue, Wisconsin, Illinois,
Ohio State again.
You've already seen them once.
Yeah, and they had to adjust to us, and we played pretty well in that. But they've got a big guy they can throw out there.
But Amir Williams, he's going to cause some issues perhaps on his home court. Guess what, Dave? Everybody plays better at home. Indiana's got 4 of the 6 on the road, and Maryland comes here. So it's not the ideal spot. But what it can be is a forced rallying cry. 3-1 right now. I'll argue that record doesn't mean anything until you play the next 6 games, but they are at least in a positive place in the standings, right? on the top as we sit here on a Wednesday, January 14th.
Well, let's be fair. When we looked at the beginning of the season, the beginning of the Big Ten, we thought 2-2 is
would be just
extremely
fine.
Likely, if not
and then we saw Nebraska get beat by Incarnate Word.
Well, and we beat them. We haven't beaten them out of Nebraska in a while, so we did that. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Thanks to the Trojan Horse for being with us this afternoon. Home of Greek specialties and American favorites. Located at the corner of Kirkwood and Walnut since 1978. Find them online, thetrojanhorse.com.
Quick programming notes. We've got high school basketball back on the air this Friday night. Number 12 South goes to Edgewood. Cross-county rivalry here. Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock and tip-off 7:30 for that.
How do they drop a spot? They were 11th in the North game. Beat them. Polls.
Yeah.
Gotta give you polls.
It's ratings. I don't know. Doesn't matter to me.
Keep winning. They've won 7 straight. Keep flying. South.
Sunday is a busy day, including here on the air. First of all, elsewhere.
Monday's going to stink.
Indiana at Illinois at 1 p.m. Yes, Monday is going to stink.
Unless
you take a sick day. I'm just telling my boss right
you
now.
You look ill.
2 o'clock, however, here on WGCL, we will take the pregame of Westwood 1. We will have both championship games, all the national Westwood 1 broadcasts. So note that for the late game. But Green Bay at Seattle kicks off a little after 3, pregame at 2 again, and then it'll go right into the Colts. At New England for a 6:40 kickoff. And we'll preview that here for you in just a short time. But first, Indiana winners last night, 76-73 over Penn State, go into the game. And they knew about it at the end of practice on Monday. It got publicized and out in public on Tuesday. But losing Hanar Mascara-Perea, no idea how long. Prognosis is have said 2 to 4 weeks. The team has said indefinitely. Again, it's a kneecap. We've seen a couple kneecaps. Maurice Creek had a kneecap once or twice. I don't recall if it was twice offhand. But, you know, you can do what you want with that. He was out there walking and I think just kind of tossing up some shots, not shooting, but tossing up some balls before the game. So take it for whatever it's worth. I'm not sure what they're going to have him the rest of the year. So here's the team that you have. You've got your 4 starters that have been played as many minutes as you could possibly want, I think, out of these guys. Maybe you can get a few more minutes out of them. That'd be great. But you've got to deal with some sort of inside game. And I don't think you just plug any one guy in on this team and you say you are now the Hunter's minutes because none of them are ready to be.
You're not. And you've got you've got safety in numbers and you've got safety in the fact that you've used multiple defenses on the year. You'll see more zone. Why? People can double team easier out of a zone.
A lot more 2-3, a lot more consistently last night.
And you make other teams shoot it from outside. And as Penn State showed you last night, they're not very smart either.
No.
If you're going to gun up 24 threes against a team that can't be that doesn't stop anybody off the dribble.
Some of those
my
shots
goodness.
They took. Oh my god,
Patrick Chambers, what are you doing, guys? How 24 of them? Oof. You had 46 points in the paint. Hey.
Some dude named Shep, who was one of the Stooges, if I remember correctly.
As
was 2 for 10.
As I told my buddy during the game, Tim Frazier has been replaced by Shep Garner.
Oh,
Shep's
gosh.
A freshman. He gets a little bit of a break. But the decision-making there, Penn State wasn't a very good team. And I don't care what their preseason record was. Did you see what their preseason RPI record was?
Oh,
strength of schedule?
Anybody.
About 350. Yeah, so that let's remember that. Moving forward, though, what do you have to do? You have to run, guys. Indiana does have good athletes, David, a lot of positions. Stanford Robinson has just got a golden ticket to 25 minutes a game if he can figure out how to rebound
last night, absolutely,
and how to make better decisions. Him and Troy have this running flip shot. Is there a contest by who can get the most of those up in a game?
It's a Globetrotters move.
But they're athletic. They can get around guys, but they have to do it on the other end as well. Indiana has shown over 16 games that they usually can put the ball in the basket. That might not be your most valuable way to stay on the court now.
Right.
Now is the time where you need to play better defense, you need to put a body on a guy, and you need to get after it. We've always joked, and I haven't. I didn't come up with this phrase or this stat. Rebounding is 90% effort and 10% talent. It means you want it more than the other guy. Dennis Rodman was not the best basketball player you ever seen, but who outworked Rodman?
Yeah,
nobody
right.
did. He was 6'8" and led the league. Charles Barkley was 6'5", was in the top 5 in rebounding. every year.
Let me ask you this. 3-3-3-2-6-6-5 is a phone number. This team was awful rebounding to start the season against bad competition, and it got dramatically better and has been until this particular game. And, of course, we understand some of the circumstances there. But the other circumstance I want to ask you about, because I keep hearing this on television, I keep hearing this a lot of different places, and maybe you can crystallize it more for me. Playing the zone hurts your rebounding.
They played
a lot of 2-3 zone last night. They had a lot of problems on the boards. Was that because of that much zone that they were playing?
It's D all of the above. The other factor was that Penn State shot a lot of three-pointers, which gets you a lot of deep rebounds. So mm-hmm. that doesn't always tell the whole story in the game. If you shoot one from the one base, the right-hand corner, you should rebound on the opposite side of the basket because 62% of them go over, not short.
Gotcha.
So if you're not in proper position, yeah, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The other part is some teams, and I don't think Penn State qualifies as this, run pretty good zone offense where they get guys in certain spots where you're not in zone anymore. You're in a man because they overload.
Right.
If you put four guys against three in the zone, the two shouldn't be standing over there waiting
for it to
happen.
It doesn't have that traditional Syracuse look to it all the time,
right?
Because the people are all over the
place. Remember, if zone was that easy to play, everybody would play it.
Sure.
You don't. So what do you do out of zone? You have to not find a body. You have to go get the basketball. You just can't turn and watch and then go get it.
Mm-hmm.
You either have to find a guy or do it. When you are young, when you are not a good rebounding team, all of a sudden, a switch doesn't flip on. It is a process of getting better. And if you play four guards and they're playing guys that are bigger than you, just by simple math says the taller guy should get more rebounds than the shorter guy.
Right.
That's where effort comes into play. That's where long rebounds, your guards have to be more active than their guards. And that's where hustle comes in. Those are things Indiana is going to get better at, hopefully, as the season comes on. But I think now, minus Perea, that focus that you've seen get better has to be even refocused as that, because Indiana doesn't do one thing on defense. They don't force turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get extra possessions unless you get defensive
That's
rebounds.
Right.
It's a math game. You're the math guy.
Yeah,
tell me if
I'm
wrong.
Or the other.
Yeah. Or
you're really fast after our basket.
Or your offense is under so much pressure knowing you're not going to get extra possessions that you have to shoot 49, 50, 51%.
Right.
Try doing that on the road eight more times in the Big Ten. It's not going to happen. How do you create more? You go get it and you want it more.
Mm-hmm.
The Ohio State people, during the game, I follow a couple of their beat writers because I just follow the league and want to see what's going on. People moaning, we're the team that gets all the loose balls. What's going on today?
Right.
Well, that tells me the neutral or the homer fan from Ohio State is telling me without saying
we're beating them to it.
Or outworking them.
Yeah, that's right.
So it can happen. It's been done.
Mm-hmm.
It's going on. You can't pick and choose the games.
You got to do it every night. You certainly have to.
And that's a mindset.
To win on the road, you absolutely have to.
That's a mindset. That's bringing it. That's getting locked in, whichever phrase you want to use. But that's the key. They're not going to do it every game because they haven't done it. This is not a team of juniors and seniors who have been through this doing it the whole time. This is a start of something new. This is the positive you can take with Perea being out, where it forces a different way to look at it. Now there's no excuse saying, he tells me to go hard, but I know Perea's right there. He's going to get it.
Right.
I can go leak out on the break. It's not the key anymore.
3-3-3-2-6-6-5 is the phone number.
Gang rebounding.
I got two names I want to bring
up.
Number
one.
Because I want to talk about these guys and what they bring to the game differently from Perea. Because I think there's no question Emmett Holt's going to get a few more minutes, I think, out of this entire thing. But there's two other bodies that bring different things that interest me a lot. One of them was the starter last night, and that's Colin Hartman. And the reason that is, and again, I'm not going to make any of these out to be a top line inside player. But two things I noticed out of Colin Hartman that you don't get out of Perea at that spot. One, the ability to stretch the floor.
Sure.
You've got plenty of that, but now you've got more of that. The big guy, for whomever it is, they have to match up with the fact that now your inside guys can both go outside. Now, Williams isn't a great shooter, but Hartman now brings you out when Perea was never going to be able to do
Williams
that.
Williams is quote-unquote your postman on offense now because you don't want Troy at 19 feet. He doesn't help you at 19 feet. Troy from 15 feet and in with two dribbles is very difficult to guard for anybody.
He can drive, but he's not. You don't want him shooting 22
footers. And you see when they run that three-man weave, and we're going to get back to Hartman on this, when Hartman runs the weave, there are other things that happen when Troy does. When Troy runs it, he's never going to pull up and shoot a jumper.
Right.
He's going to go. And usually with his head down, and usually the decisions are 50-50. Hartman gives you not that.
Right. He's not looking to shoot, but he will take an open shot.
And when Troy is on the perimeter and you run that weave and you run it his way, you can help off Troy Because number you can help because you want him to shoot that jumper. And number two, when he catches it, my goodness, you don't want to be up on him. He'll blow right by you.
Right.
So there is a reason Hartman can be productive out there.
Absolutely.
And I think that illustrates it. You want Troy in the lane where he's got a 6'9", 240 guy who can't guard him because he's not quick enough.
Right.
So that, again, these are the laws of unintended consequences that could help these things out.
Well, and again, it's not making up the difference, but it's got to do something different.
Again, we go back to what makes Indiana good? What does Indiana put pressure on other teams with?
Mm-hmm. Their offense.
Right. So Indiana doesn't want to put four guys in it just automatically rebound and play defense and robot
have
it.
Guys who can put in the basket.
Score and get rebounds. Hey, score first and then get rebounds.
Space the floor. This spaces it out even more. Look, and that's why I'm interested by
it. They scored enough points, 76 of them last night without Perea, which tells you this can work. Again,
how well is
got
it,
beat
is
on the board. You won the game. Hey, you scored.
Hartman
was number one.
The other side. Well, I want to go to the other side of Hartman because, this to me is an interesting thing. Also, this team has gotten beat off of dribble penetration frequently, and it's often with a high ball screen. The difference with Colin Hartman than Hannah Perea, in my opinion, and what I saw a little bit of last night, he can jump the ball handler. He can jump the ball handler and redirect him. And I never saw much of that out of Hunter. Hunter always looked like he was sitting back and wasn't jumping on the other side of the screen. So I'm curious as to whether we think that can be a benefit on the defensive end. I know you lose the shot blocker, and I don't care what he did against Ohio State. He's not a shot blocker. But it's interesting to me out front because that has been a huge weakness for the Hoosiers.
From a strategy standpoint, they're probably not going to send Hartman's man to run that screen and roll.
Well, they might figure that out on tape, sure.
But who else is it? I think that's,
Troy can jump them, too.
That's the angle. So the good news is you are already, by most lineups that Indiana plays, in a position on the perimeter. Look at their three-point defense. They don't give up a lot of three-point shots because they got active guys out there. Yeah. It's off the dribble. You're exactly right. If you watch film on Indiana, which Pat Chambers obviously did.
I don't know if he did or not.
And Thad didn't watch a lot either.
He's watching Mr. Magoo reruns.
What you do, you isolate your best driver, and then you make Indiana rotate and help because they don't do that very well. I have had success with. You've seen the over-help, the non-help, everything else. The three-point line is where Indiana takes away. They're like, you want to shoot 18-footers, fine. You want to get two for those.
Mm-hmm.
You get three if you move back 3 feet, right? There is a philosophical difference in any of that. But when you have Hartman now, the other key for Hartman is, he can help you on the perimeter. That's fine. But the role guy, what Hartman's going to have to realize, sometimes he gets in these rock fights down there in the post.
Yeah.
He has to realize now, when you're only playing 12 minutes a game, you can use three or four fouls.
Right.
Now, if you're going to stretch out to 20, 25 games,
let it go,
you don't need to be
right.
– let the guy catch it, get in good position, get your hands up, put a body on him, and rebound.
And make him make the shot.
You don't have to be a shot blocker.
Right.
You don't have to be a guy that nudges him just out of the post a little bit. Hartman and Yogi are two best post defenders.
Every basketball fan I've ever watched gets mad every time the basketball goes through the basket for the opposition.
Yes, it does.
But nobody ever gets shut out.
No one, ever. Basketball is a game of imperfection.
Yeah.
Bob Knight's told you that for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
But what Hartman has to realize, sometimes he'd come off the bench and be that guy, gives you a little muscle, gets you in there, gets tied up in somebody's business.
Now saw he's got to be
out
up
and down the court. Yeah, he can't throw away fouls. He can't give fouls away. If his opponent's 6'9", 6'8", just bigger and stronger than he is, and gets the ball in good position, let him have the layup.
Yeah.
He doesn't help us on the bench with four.
Right.
That's the key.
We can put a couple bodies out there.
Now you're trusting
a
kid who's played 16 games in his career, couldn't get on the floor last year, to automatically take this leap of, hey, we programmed you to do this. Now we want to take the SIM card out, change it up a little bit. That's going to be an interesting development because guess what teams on film are going to do? Hey, he's 6'6". Our guy's 6'9". Let's go down to the block and see what happens because if we get through Hartman, now it's Holt.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get through Holt, it's Burton, Robinson. Again.
Let's
Troy is not going to guard the best post player. Why?
You don't want him in foul.
Exactly right.
The other end.
The next step in that is zone defense.
Let's
You've
talk about
there.
Player number two then number before
two.
We hit this break. It's Stanford Robinson.
Doors
now,
open.
This is one game. I do not want to make everything out of this, but we know what kind of skills he has. We know what he can bring in certain areas. The question to me is, do we think he's going to hit the boards? Four boards last night is a big help. I'm not sure he's a big board guy, but you know he's size-wise enough, he's athletic enough, he's smart enough at the game, I think, to do that. And then the opposite side of that, of course, is on the offense. He's out of control a lot of times when he's driving.
And some of them went in last night.
And some of them go in sometimes. And I think that you got to factor that in when you're Tom Crean. You got to say, you know what? Sometimes it does work out. And what does that bring to a team that's got a bunch of shooters around you is the question, because you've got to do everything right now on the offensive end.
Stanford's problem was shown in one play last night that it incorporated 94 feet. He blocked a shot, picked it up, went to the other end, spun out of control, and threw the ball up at the basket.
Yep.
He made a great play. He made a super job getting the ball out in transition because Indiana likes to go, and then made a horrible decision once he hit the paint at the other side.
Right.
So he's going to have to pick and choose his moments. And the thing about Stanford, as you've seen, he is pretty good off the dribble out of the set offense. In transition, he's just like Troy, but Troy's even gone down a gear. He doesn't have to take it every single time, he sees a quarter inch and right. thinks it's a mile. But what Stanford can do is rebound. He's athletic. No one looks at him and says, well, geez, he's dead weight. He can get to the goal. He can use both hands, but he has to do it in the framework of what's good for Indiana, not what's good on emotion. That's the other thing. The other thing with Stan, and you brought the point up kind, and I'll take it one step. Give me a big game on the road. You do it at home against a bad team.
This was one game.
Do it on the look. You need him on the road.
The talk from fans about him before this game, and it wasn't right before the game, but weeks leading up to this game, was he's the guy who's out after the year because we're over signed by two. It is. That's what everybody was saying.
Of Robinson,
so does he jump up to this level?
The expectations of Robinson are inflated because he played in 28 games last year. Hartman didn't.
Right, that's right.
He didn't. People are wondering where.
And of course, the recruiting ranking, which is decent.
So. People are wondering where this jump is. Into minutes,
right?
Not about how many points and rebounds you're getting. Hey, you played all these games last year. Now you're having trouble getting on the court.
Yeah.
So now you're on the court. Now take advantage of it. And as I say, and I'm going to say, Indiana has plenty of offense. Let the offensive players do offense. You right. be the guy that maybe blocks a shot, grabs some rebounds, gets in a passing lane, use those quick hands and long arms. Find a role. And if you got one on one against a bad matchup, I saw him finish last night with both hands at the rim. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But when he's under control, he's hard to guard. When he's out of control, he's the best player for the other team. That's that fine line, Dave. Yeah. Right now, that Indiana's walking because hey, do you want to wrestle back those wild horses or do you want to let them go? Indiana led the world in turnovers last year, 17 and 15. That's not the way to do it.
Nope. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. We'll give you a quick prediction on this weekend when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Thanks to J&S Locksmith. You'll find everything for the residential or commercial outdoor technician. J&S Locksmith, 508 West 17th Street in Bloomington.
Hoosiers now have to go to Illinois.
The Injury Bowl.
Yeah, they are missing Ravonte Rice, one of the top scorers in the league, and was Illinois' top scorer. I don't know exactly where this injury happened, but I know they didn't have him at all when they beat Maryland in Champaign. So just to show you, they're 1-3 in the conference. They make you scratch your head, but their one win, again, is over a top 15 team at home without your best player.
Now,
so
take the emotion out of that at home.
Well, exactly.
But here's my point, and then go look how many points they scored at Nebraska in their next game.
Yeah, 43.
Well, see, that's a good half for a lot of things. So he did eventually matter, and that's the one thing.
Well, the key to the Maryland game to me, 57 Maryland points. They are going to come out and D Indiana up in Champaign.
Watching the Maryland game, Maryland struggled tremendously from the field to get good shots because, A, they weren't patient, and, B, Illinois, again, when you lose your leading scorer, Dave, what are you going to do? Replace the points or get after you a different way?
Right.
And there's ways to do that. So they have the opposite effect of Indiana. Indiana losing more of a defensive presence and Illinois losing, here's a guy we go to when we need to.
Guy, right.
So now they have 18 transfers in their lineup. Of the
shot
guys
27% out there in Lincoln.
Yeah, not very good. And that's with everybody probably hoisting a few more extra than they're used to, trying to pick up that slack.
6 of 29 on threes.
That's one thing Indiana doesn't have to worry about.
No, they've got all their offense
still. They don't have the extra slack. Mm. And that's what Indiana's key is. Mm. Putting pressure on with their offense. See, you don't lose, quote unquote, that.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not down on this. I'd like to have all the pieces to the puzzle. Don't get me wrong, but the thing that makes the Hoosiers go is hooping, not preventing. Hooping.
Well, it's exactly right, and they got to continue that. Look, it's not good to lose the only depth you have in the interior.
Tell
it's
me how
not.
Many turnovers Illinois had in that
but,
game.
But again, I said this before the season. I was intrigued to see how this team was going to play given the deficiencies they had. I'm even more so now because I enjoy the fact that they're playing all this offensive game. Some of it's ugly. There are no question they make some bad decisions.
We said earlier in the year it's going to be like vacation. But, getting there is half
the fun. But they're getting up and down the court, and they are unselfish offensively and play relatively smart. They make some bad decisions on the offense being over aggressive, but they're spacing the floor, they're sharing the ball. Those are all the good things. But in the Big Ten, it comes down to can you get shots up? And what they've seemed to go through patches of figuring out is that while they all want to shoot three-pointers, they really should only be shooting the three-pointers that are pretty damn well open
or
because they're going to hit them.
Transition's
and that's fine,
that's
too.
That's part of the philosophy.
But they have to remember to create by getting into the lane. And I think this last game against Penn State, it seems to me, they did much more intent on getting into the lane to help create those.
And against Penn State, which is a different opponent than some maybe you'll face on the road coming up in four of your next six. It starts Sunday, 1 o'clock at Illinois. Tell me, do you have that box score from Maryland? How many, from Nebraska, how many turnovers they had?
Nine turnovers.
See, again, Nebraska's not a team that puts a lot of pressure on you. Indiana's similar to that.
They shot 27%. I mean, it was a horrible offensive game, but it wasn't because they were out of
Nebraska
control nasty or anything.
Defend, and that's not their focus either. Nebraska likes to
remember
score.
We out-rebounded Nebraska with Honor Parade.
You didn't.
But Nebraska out-rebounded Illinois.
Indiana-Illinois opened the Big Ten season last year. Indiana lost in overtime out there. Did Indiana miss some free throws late in that game? I can't remember how it worked out. But again, Illinois at home is a different animal. Any big team at home is a different animal. All these Big Ten teams think they can win at home. They believe they're going to win at home. And taking the show on the road separates the haves from the have-nots, Dave. We can talk about guts, determination, grit, three-point wins, learning how to win at home. Until that translates on the road, that's the next step this team has to take. Remember, they led Nebraska by 16 in the first half, cut it down to 8, trailed by 4, led by 14, trailed down to 3, won by 5.
Hoosiers win?
Exactly right. No, they don't win. I'm sorry to say that. It's going to be a game that's going to be crusty, just like Illinois is going to want it, 58-57, 58-54, somewhere in there, because I haven't seen Blackman get hot on the road. Yeah. I haven't seen Yogi light up the road. 6-16 is not hot, folks. That's a decent night. No. But this is the next step until you start seeing it on the road from this team. Again, let's see what happens. But I think it's if it get the game in the 70s, Dave, and I'll sing a different song. But Illinois, they can't do that. They don't have enough guys to do it.
All logic tells me I should pick Illinois.
Yep, there you go.
I mean, everything tells me that. I'm going to go a different direction
for
once. And I'm just, I've been pragmatic most of the year about that.
Yeah.
Just to me, the offensive side of things here, Illinois was very ugly on the offensive end.
But who's the defense that usually cures anything that ails you?
Well, Nebraska this year. And they scored 43. Points and then the Hoosiers.
I made Indiana get it. Nebraska 70.
Look, the Hoosiers are not going to hold them to 30 points. They're not going to do that. Nope. If they do, they'll win the game going away. I'm going to give them a shot on the road because it's a wounded animal. Also, Illinois is just as wounded and more so, like you said, on the offensive end. And I like nowadays, just today, I like some offensive basketball versus some.
It's
questionable
it's
defense
because
Illinois
prettier.
Can defend you, but Illinois
it is prettier.
Not necessarily shut down as a team. Is their motto.
But
so
I think,
we will see.
John, again, you got to protect your home court in the league.
It'll be a grind out from Illinois. There's no question.
And
we know they play
again,
hard there.
Then if it comes down to that many missed shots, it's going to be a battle of rebounding.
Yeah.
And right now I don't see that in Indiana's favor. Naganawana Egwu, he's a senior. They got some crusty guys. All right, you're on the Hoosiers. I'm on Illinois, and I hope you're victorious.
Well, I do too. I got a feeling you're right because all logic points that way, though. We got to take a quick break.
Take the points.
333-2665 is a phone number. We will preview the Colts AFC Championship when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone.
All
right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes. You got high school basketball back on the air on Friday night. Joe Smith and John Callahan doing the game from over at Edgewood as they bring the South Panthers to town. Chalk Talk 7 o'clock with both coaches and tip off at 7:30 for the county rivalry there. And then Sunday, a day full of football. We start off 2 o'clock with the National Westwood One broadcast, their pregame for Green Bay at Seattle, and then it melds effortlessly over to New England. Makes all the sense in the world. You got Seattle going in the early game on one coast, and then you go back to the other coast in the dark and get the cold and all that sort of thing. New England,
they alternate those, so that's why it is what it is. There's no coin flip or anything like that. It's just each year they flip it over. So it's a noon kick in Seattle and a late kick in the East Coast.
Colts got to go to New England for the AFC Championship. And
you know it's better than not going.
Well, it's playing it is better than being at home. There's no question about that. So the question becomes, can they beat the Patriots? The Patriots against the Ravens had to turn into all Tom Brady, all throwing the ball team, which is not really how they kind of got to this point in the season. But they can do a lot of different things, and it worked really well for them.
Which
so,
is interesting because...
Do they go back to that against the Colts?
Well, that's the other thing. And the Patriots trailed 14-0. They trailed 28-14. They trailed 31-28 all on their home field.
Yeah.
They had to run trick plays. Julian Edelman throwing a touchdown pass. Four mm-hmm. guys on the line of scrimmage, quote-unquote, that gave Baltimore some problems. So if I'm the Colts, I take a look at that game plan. And let's see, just 3 short years ago, Chuck Pagano was the defensive coordinator at Baltimore. So there's got to be some tricks in that toolbox that you haven't seen yet because the last two times these teams have played, it's been 20-21 point victories for New England. But the kid that ran for 200 and whatever yards against the Colts in the regular season,
Jonas
Gray. He's had 38 touches since. I think he had 38 touches
if
in that game. No,
yeah.
Well, that was a stat today. The other interesting fact is every time New England's been knocked out of the playoffs, it's been by someone they have faced already in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the second bite of the cherry a la Denver. The Colts aren't going to be scared or intimidated. They kind of know they're playing with house's money. It's not easy to beat Peyton Manning on the road anytime, let alone the playoffs. So they did it and deserved it. And again, we talked about this on Monday, and I'm going back to it. They didn't fluke that game.
No.
They didn't
they
get,
were more
they
physical
didn't, they didn't get
ways.
Some kind of magic call, or they didn't get a tip ball, or they didn't return a missed field goal 100 yards.
Denver wasn't at their best late in the season.
But the Colts had something to do with
Colts in this game were more physical on both ends of the ball.
They'll have to match rushing.
It was catching
output.
All day long. The defensive front was against New England the first time around. It can't do that. It's got to be the physical bunch.
And the other
it
thing
has to match
the Colts have shown you they can do is the balance they have on offense. It's there. And Andrew Luck, you give him the keys to the Ferrari and say, go ahead. Mm-hmm. It's not a rookie quarterback in New England. He's done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is game 6 of mm-hmm. his playoff career. You feel better every time this kid takes a snap in the playoffs. But here's going to be the key. Can you get Tom Brady uncomfortable? Because if you let him stand back there all day, oh, my gosh, it's torture to watch because he just doesn't make a lot of stupid plays,
no, he really
shouldn't.
Doesn't.
This is his ninth AFC title.
And he's still so accurate. Look, on the offensive side for the Colts,
what they did
in this past game that they haven't been able to do in a long time and is absolutely crucial in this game is keep Andrew Luck without pressure all over him. They have not done that for 3 years of Andrew Luck until last week. If they do that again, that bodes very, very well for the Colts offense.
Andrew Luck, because they've
spread it around no matter what, and they're happy to take the dump offs to let that happen. But this offensive line suddenly the last couple weeks has played really well, and it's not killing people in the run game, but it is keeping people off of Andrew Luck. And if it does that, again, he's as good as it gets out there.
New England last week did not have to plan for Joe Flacco going. Andrew Luck can go. That's
Joe Flacco's not bad, but you're exactly right.
He's not looking for it.
No,
Luck
not,
will take a hit. Yeah. He'll get you 20 yards. If you need 21, he's going to get you 22.
And I'll take that, but I'm telling you.
Not all day. I'm not in the pocket getting crushed.
What Belichick is known for is pressuring quarterbacks.
He is.
If they keep Andrew Luck clean this week, it bodes very well
for
the offense.
It does, but the other part of it as well is if they get to him, number one, contact doesn't bother him.
No,
he doesn't.
It's fine.
It's not.
But
Peyton Manning
let's
back
remember
there.
How he's ended the last couple of playoffs, and that's throwing 3 and 4 interceptions in some of those games.
And when
with
you're
pressure.
Down 20 points, sometimes that adds to one of them as well. the decision making, the game each week is slowing down for him. Uh-huh. You can just see it develop. You can
and again,
see it. You
spreading
can see
the ball it. Around, dumping it off to right. the running backs, getting Boom Heron involved in that. That all helps also.
I told you a funny stat off the air. Adam Vinatieri is 7-0 in conference championship games, and the that stat was told to the press by Adam Vinatieri. So yes. he's on the Colts side of things. You like the storybook. The pressure's all on New England, Dave. They yeah. haven't won a Super Bowl since when?
2004.
The last time they've been yeah. in the Super Bowl, they were undefeated, and the Giants beat them in yeah. Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. The time before that, the Giants upset them. This hasn't been a New England team that's, you know, you want to puff your chest out, great. Knock yourself out.
Well,
I know where the pressure's at, and it's not on Indianapolis.
It's certainly all
it is not on Indianapolis
no at
all.
Yeah.
And the Colts, if they can, the other thing that stuck out last game that we have to remember, the drops were down, and Heron and the running backs didn't fumble.
Didn't
the football.
Fumble it. And how long is that going to last? Yeah, well, that's my point with the offensive line too.
It
it's
is.
The same point. It was a great
you can
couple
get
games.
60
on
more.
Minutes yeah,
out
well,
of them.
That's exactly right.
And the thing I also like is the Colts secondary. They're healthy. Everybody's
well,
healthy. That's
and
that's not bad.
There's
to have right
the
now.
Interesting part that's is the, who gets Rob Gronkowski.
All of them.
Is this LeRon Landry in coverage game? Because he's not as fast as Julius Thomas, but he's more physical. And you know LeRon Landry's a physical guy.
He likes it. Could
I know.
Be up for
do
it.
You stick him on there and just say go wherever he goes?
I think you have to do the same
be
thing you did
with
them. Is you got is if you can press and make that one option the better choice, you hope yeah. Newsom and Warner and the guys in Walden can get some pressure. And New England's good. Let's not dance around that. The Patriots, they started, what, 2-2? The ship was done, and they go 10-1 in their last however many games.
They got physical, and that's what was unusual about
healthy.
This game.
That's the other part.
Do they go
healthy.
Back to physical against the Colts because that hurts them?
I think it's going to be an old-fashioned shootout, and sadly – well, no, not sadly. I think Adam Vinatieri is going to decide it. I'll ride the Colts wave. I thought they'd win in Denver. They did, and why get off them now? Stay on the improbable. Colts
I'll,
win.
I'll go.
Win.
I'll go with logic on this one. You can go against
yeah,
it in this case, and that's
28.
Fine. I think the Patriots win at home in this one.
Shouldn't I?
And then they get my Seattle Seahawks. You can just blow their doors off. I'm looking forward to that, too. But, no, I think it'll be competitive this time around. Andrew Luck, sixth playoff game, as you mentioned.
That's
he's
got to
be better
guys.
Than he's better been in some of these other last games before. I think it's coming for him, but I
and
think
the
they
fear
come up
factor,
just short.
The fear factor should be
nah,
gone. Get
exactly.
out and play. Have yeah. some fun with it. We'll have coverage for you beginning immediately after, as Dave mentioned, Seattle and Green Bay coming up. Sunday, 2 o'clock starts it all. 3 yep. o'clock's first kick, and then 6:30 or whenever they decide to take it over there on Foxborough.
Music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday to tell you about all of that and IU's trip to Illinois, so tune in then. Remember, high school basketball Friday night, South at Edgewood, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk, and we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.